This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
I want to start out by saying this morning. I believe that how we respond during adversity, during trials, I believe that our response affects our future. Greatly affects our future. Can anybody agree with that? How we respond to things, how we react to things. I want to take you back 15 years. It's almost the anniversary of it. In 2010, there was a big football game going on. It's called the Iron Bowl in Alabama. Now, for any of y'all who are big college football fans, you know about the Iron Bowl. It's Alabama and Auburn. It's kind of like our Egg Bowl here, which is, you know, Ole Miss and State. But with the Iron Bowl, I just got to tell you, I married an Alabama girl. They're a... Here we go. I knew it was coming. I knew that roll tide was coming. Alabama people are quite passionate about football. Maybe a little too passionate, right? So 15 years ago, it's the Iron Bowl. Crimson Tide are up 24-0. Cam Newton was the quarterback for Auburn. Somehow, Auburn came back and won the game 28-27. Now, I just mentioned how we respond to adversity, how we respond to trials in our lives can affect our future. That night, Alabama fans, they had to figure out how they were going to respond to a loss. Now, most sane people just go to bed and know that God's still on the throne, right? Alabama people can't take a loss that easy, okay? They're a little too passionate. And so that night, there was this guy, and we'll just maybe call him by his first name, Harvey. And Harvey goes to Toomer's Corner in Auburn, which, in case you don't know, it's this intersection, and there are these iconic oak trees there. And after Auburn fans, after they win a game, they toilet paper the trees. I don't know, Alabama people are weird, okay? But that's what they do. That's what they do. And this Harvey guy, he was just so upset about the loss, he went and he poisoned those oak trees. Then he got on the Paul Feinbaum show later that week and told the world about it. And then he got sentenced to 3 years for what he did. Can y'all say that was probably a dumb mistake and that he did not respond the proper way? It truly affected his future, did it not? I did a little more research on it because we watched a documentary on it. And he only served 6 months, but he originally was 3 years. But here's a great thing. They ended the documentary. They said, "So why'd you do it?" This cracks us up because she says this line every now and then. And he said this. He said, "I guess I just got too much Bama in me." Oh, good grief. Good grief. It's a football game. Anyway, Harvey. Harvey did not respond well, and as a result, his future was greatly affected. As y'all know, we're in our Joseph series that we're calling Dreams to Destiny. And what we're looking at in the series is how we can get to the destiny that God has for us. Because every one of us as believers, we have a God-given dream, and that's our calling. But we also have a purpose. That's our destiny. And that's what God has for every one of us. We want to get to that destiny. We want to get to that purpose that God has for us. That's where we're really going to find true happiness in life. I'm going to be honest with you. The thing is this, is though, we got to make sure that our character is right. Whenever you look at Joseph's story, he had to pass a number of character tests to be able to get to his destiny, and he got there. But the same is true for us. We also have to pass a number of character tests before we can walk in the destiny that God has for us. Now, last week, I got to brag on my bride. She did a great job of talking about the purity test. Can we just give her a big hand this morning? She took a hard subject, and she did a really good job of that. And kind of what that was about, the way we set it up with Joseph's story was is that Potiphar's wife had pursued Joseph, right? Remember, she was kind of pursuing him. He got out of there because he's a good boy. And ultimately, though, she snagged his coat from him. But he got out of there, and so we talked about the purity test. But now we're going to talk about the prison test today. So this morning we're going to go to Genesis 39, and we're pretty much going to pick up where Regina left off last week at verse 13 of Genesis 39. It says this, it says, "When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story, that Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, you need to see this today, the Lord was with him. In the hardest season of his life, who was with him? The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him great success in whatever he did. Isn't that good? Now, if we look at Joseph's story and what we've read in this series, I think that everything that Joseph walked through had to do with stewardship. For instance, how would Joseph steward his actions? How would Joseph steward the things of another man, including that man's wife? How would Joseph steward his own body or even his attitude? And the truth is this, is that if we're not good stewards, we can never fulfill our destiny. We need to understand that today. We've got to be good stewards. And this prison test that we're talking about today, it's all about perseverance. It's how God can develop character in our lives with what we go through here on earth. And so today, what I want us to do is we're going to look at a formula that we're going to look at in Romans chapter 5. Whenever we go to Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 start out by talking about the grace by which we stand. And we're going to hop into verse 3, and it continues on by saying this, and not only that, talking about the grace that I just mentioned, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. Now, real quick, the implied verb here is produces. So it'll read, and tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice that it says, we'll glory in tribulation. Did y'all see that at the beginning of that verse? We'll glory in tribulation. Whenever you look at that word glory, there's two translations, two main translations in the Greek of that word. One of those translations is used 138 times in Scripture, and it's talking about outshining. It's actually talking about just God being radiant. So I don't know about y'all, whenever I think about the glory of God, it's almost for me like looking at a really bright light. Like right now I'm staring at a bright light that I kind of have to squint at. That's what I think of whenever I think about the glory of God. Anybody else? So that's the most common translation of this word in the Greek. But here it's actually talking about a different translation, and that translation of the word is actually to rejoice. So it's saying we rejoice in tribulation. And I know it's really hard to get excited about rejoicing in tribulation, isn't it, somebody? By the way, I'm seeing spots after staring at that light this morning. But it's really hard to get excited about tribulation. But our first point today, and again, we're going to pull these straight from Romans 5, is this, is that tribulation produces perseverance. It produces perseverance. Now, just as a heads up, you don't have to pray for tribulation in your life because it's going to happen. Now, some of you this morning may have said, well, now, Pastor Gene, there's power in your words, and you don't need to speak that over your life. I'm not speaking it over my life. I'm telling you what Jesus said in Matthew. What does he say in Matthew 16? He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. He didn't say you might have it. He said, you what? Will have it. But I love the second half of this verse, but it says, but be of good cheer. Chin up, kid, because I've overcome the world. Right? I've overcome the world. I want you to know this. We are meant to live an overcoming life. Y'all know that's my jam. I love to teach on that. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we're meant to live an overcoming life. Amen? We're meant to be overcomers. But whenever we look at this right here where it says, in this world you'll have tribulation, it makes me think of something that Jesus' half-brother James has in chapter 1, where he said, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. When or if? When. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, based on Romans 5, what we read just a second ago, tribulation produces perseverance. Based on James 1, trials produce patience. So just for a second, let's look at patience and perseverance, what they are, and let's look at trials and tribulations and look at what they are. We'll start with trials and tribulations first because this is quick. First of all, a trial is brief. We deal with trials every day. They're brief. Tribulation is long, it's drawn out, it's difficult. It's a long, difficult, drawn out trial. Has anybody ever walked through that before? Some of you may be in that season right now in your life. But let's talk about patience. Patience is waiting with contentment. Somebody say contentment. Now, whenever we talk about patience, this is not patience right here. Saying to somebody, I wish you'd hurry up, is not acting patiently. Can we all agree with that? I mean, I want somebody to just think about what is it that drives you nuts whenever you have a hard time being patient. Is it whenever you get into self-checkout and there's somebody up there with a full cart and you're thinking, I've only got one item and I need to get through here? Is it whenever that person is driving 60 in the left lane on the highway?
Come on now.
Well, I obviously see what irritates this crowd. And so you use your horn. And hopefully you don't wave with only 20% of your hand, okay? Hopefully you don't do that whenever you pass them. Patience. That's not patience if you're honking the horn, right? If you're sitting there thinking, they don't even need a driver's license. They need to get off the road. Move it or lose it, sister, if you're saying any of that kind of stuff. That is not patience. Here's the thing. Patience is keeping your heart right while you're waiting on something. It's keeping your heart right while you're waiting on something. Patience is waiting with contentment, knowing that it's going to be okay. You know, patience is a fruit of the Spirit, literally fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in your life. Now, perseverance, though, it involves a battle. It involves something difficult. Perseverance is the strength to continue fighting while the battle that you're in, you're able to continue fighting while waiting with contentment to get your breakthrough. It's knowing that even during that battle that you're fighting, that God's plans for you are good. It's knowing that even though you're in a battle, that he's faithful. It's knowing that even though you're in a battle, that he's still in control. Amen? I mean, that is perseverance, knowing that his plans for you are good. And whenever you look in the Bible, you'll see that the only thing that produces character, you won't find anything else in Scripture, it's perseverance. It's perseverance. Now, again, it's getting through our tribulation, perseverance. And it's funny, I've mentioned in this series that for Joseph, it was 13 years to get from the dream to the destiny, right? There's other key players in the Bible where it seemed like their time was 13 years as well. Like, for instance, David, whenever he was anointed king, it was 13 years before he took the throne. Much of that 13 years, he was running for his life from King Saul. King Saul was trying to kill him. Again, with our guy Joseph here, he had his dream at 17. He was 30 before he began to step into his destiny. During that time, he was thrown in a pit by his brothers. He was sold by his brothers. He was accused by a woman, thrown in jail. I mean, the guy went through a fair amount of hardship, right, in his life, 13 years. Whenever you look at the Apostle Paul, Paul was actually kind of in this whole place of limbo and obscurity whenever he was at the church in Antioch before he ever really got out on his missionary journeys. But then you'll also see in Scripture that for some it was longer. Abraham, 25 years. Moses, 40 years. The poor children of Israel, that original group, many of them did not even see the promised land that God had for them. Here's the thing. Sometimes it's long, sometimes it's short, but I fully believe that once again, our response determines our future, but not only that, it determines the length of the tribulation that we're walking through. So tribulation produces perseverance, and according to Romans 5, number 2, perseverance produces character. It produces character. Wouldn't it be great if we could just find somebody full of character just to pray for us, and then all of a sudden we would have character? Wouldn't it be great if it was that easy? It's not quite that easy, because according to Romans 5, it's truly perseverance that produces it. in this church, we have a number of people that really have just the favor of God on their lives. We've got folks that are business people, entrepreneurs that have been blessed. Maybe they have a company that has a lot of employees. I mean, we've got just really some great folks in this church. But a thought I have, and I'm going to circle back to that in just a minute, something that you can do for people that will not be a blessing for them if you're in a place of, like, for instance, you employ people or maybe you have the ability to bless people. Something you can do that won't be a blessing for them is to promote them before they're ready. Are y'all with me today? Okay. Or deliver them out of a trial that God is taking them through to work character into their life. A lot of times we want to rescue people out, but see, there's a plan with what they're going through. Scripture again shows us perseverance produces character. And we know that Joseph was a man of great ability. I mean, let's just think, whenever we look at his life, everywhere he went, he rose. Like, he was just elevated because of God's favor on his life. I mean, he gets sold into slavery, Potiphar purchases him, and shortly thereafter, he's running Potiphar's house and his affairs, right? Then he gets accused by Potiphar's wife, gets thrown in jail, and shortly after, as I mentioned earlier, he became like the assistant manager in the jail, right? I mean, he's running the jail, and he's a prisoner. And then whenever he finally gets out of jail, he's the number two guy in all of Egypt, just below Pharaoh. The favor of God was on his life. I think we can all agree with that. As a matter of fact, it says that Pharaoh, Potiphar, nor the jailer, they didn't even have to look into anything that he oversaw because God's favor was on him and he did it well. He was a man of character. But in Genesis 40, I believe that Joseph may have prolonged his period in prison longer than it should have ever been. And this is just an opinion, okay? So it's not necessarily the straight gospel. It's just a thought. I want you to think about this just for a minute. In case you don't know, in Genesis 40, one day at prison, the baker and the butler, now these were the two guys that worked for Pharaoh. The baker and the butler, Joseph sees them and they're not looking well. They look like they're super down. And so he ultimately says, okay, what's going on, guys? He finds out that both of them had a dream the night before and they're all confused because they don't know what the dream means. So he said, let me hear it. And so the butler, and by the way, your translation may say cupbearer, the butler shares his dream, and so he has a revelation of what it's about. He's hearing from God, obviously. And so he says, here's what it means. In 3 days, you're going to be restored back to your old job. And so, of course, butler's super excited, right? I mean, because he's about to get out of prison, praise God. And sure enough, it happens. Then the baker heard what his interpretation was for the dream, and I'm sure he was excited, like, woo-hoo, what's mine going to be? It wasn't quite as good. He said, okay, baker, your dream means in 3 days, you're going to lose your head. That had to be an awkward moment, didn't it? But here's what I want us to get. Joseph said this to the butler after he gave him the interpretation for his dream, verse 14 in chapter 40. He says, but remember me whenever it's well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. In other words, get me out of jail. Verse 23, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph and forgot him. Now let's think about this just for a minute. And again, this is just my thought, okay? 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream, and the butler remembers, there was that guy in prison that gave me the interpretation of my dream. 2 years later. Now let me ask you this question. Who gave Pharaoh the dream? The answer would be God. God. Pharaoh had the dream 2 years later. Why didn't he have it 2 days later? Again, this is just my thinking right here today. One thought that I have is that Joseph was doing really well in prison. I mean, we see that in prison, he was obviously doing the right thing because he was promoted, right? I mean, God's favor was on his life. We see, like with these two guys, the butler and the baker, that Joseph cared about them. Joseph wasn't just having a pity party and just talking about how he was done wrong and how this lady accused him and he was, you know, in prison but shouldn't have been. Joseph wasn't, you know, he wasn't just thinking about himself. He was thinking about others because that day that he sees the butler and the baker down, he wants to know what he can do to help. He wants to know why they're down, right? So I'm wondering if he's doing so well in prison, but then he tells the butler to drop a hint to Pharaoh. He drops a hint to the butler and says, listen, mention me to Pharaoh. And I wonder if God was just thinking, you know what? I don't know if I'm ready to promote him, because if I promote Joseph now, he's going to think that the way to get ahead is by dropping hints. It's just a thought. Because here's the thing, we got to understand God never, ever rewards manipulation. He never rewards manipulation. I think possibly that time period could have been 2 years, because Joseph's character wasn't ready to support his destiny. It could have been 2 days, it could have been a year, it could have been 2 years. I'm just wondering if the Lord stretched that out a little bit. And I want us to understand this. It's God's grace that he doesn't put us in our destiny before we're ready. Because I want you to understand, we'll fall if he does. If we can't handle it, he's not going to put us in there. We don't need to rush the process. He's waiting on our character to be big enough to support our destiny. Does that make sense today? Now, a moment ago, I mentioned, like, for instance, here at Church Alive, we've got people that employ, you know, a number of folks that God's really blessed them and stuff. And I'm sure they know this, but over the years, I've learned that if we're considering blessing someone, or maybe I'm looking to promote someone or give someone more responsibility, if they drop a hint, then I just tend to back off. I just tend to back off, because by the hint dropping, you know what? It shows that they're not ready. Here's the thing. Y'all, as individuals, we never need to try to manipulate situations. We never need to try to manipulate situations. We need to allow God to be the one who blesses us. We need to let God be the one who rewards us. We need to let God be the one who promotes us and elevates us. Amen? Does that make sense today? So that was just the thought I had. So tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And according to Romans 5, character produces hope. Produces hope. Now, character is not only how we act, but it's also how we react. It's how we react. Joseph did the right thing by running away from the woman who was, you know, kind of coming after him, who was chasing him. But as a result, he suffered the wrong consequences. Has anybody ever been in a situation in your life where your heart was right, you felt like you did the right thing, but people took it in the wrong way? They said things about you, they gossiped about you, they started rumors about you. Has anybody ever been, you know, dealt with that before? We were in Indiana at a conference last week, a group of guys from the church, and Pastor Ron Johnson, who hosted it, in his session, he mentioned that years ago, he ran for office twice, and as he says, he came in second place both times. He kind of got a taste of politics, and honestly, he really didn't love it. He started to see just how dirty politics were. But with that said, in one of those races, his opponent actually had a mailer made, so, you know, some junk mail that you get. It went out to 60,000 homes in their area that said that Pastor Ron was a child abuser and had stolen $1 million from his church. It just came up with this stuff out of nowhere. Now, if you know Pastor Ron, and a lot of our folks do, Pastor Ron is like the man. He's pastoring a killer church up there. They're right at 2,000. They tripled during COVID. During this time, they were probably 300 or 400. You know, in his words, we didn't have $1 million for me to take, you know, for Pete's sakes. He's got 8 kids. They're fruitful. They're fruitful. And they're all serving God, amen, in ministry and stuff. And, you know, if you know Pastor Ron, you know that, my word, in fact, they're great at marriage and family teachings and stuff. But obviously, it was a lie. At times, we're going to have that happen in our lives. At times, people are going to say things about us that are untrue. It's just going to happen. I mean, it's going to take place. People are going to say things about us that aren't true. But here's something I want us to think about. Joseph did the right thing, but suffered the wrong results. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You'll see that? It makes the heart sick. Now, in looking at how Joseph ministered, for instance, to the baker and the butler, how he obviously did well while he was in prison, I think it shows us that Joseph did not have a sick heart. Because, again, he was concerned about others. He did the right thing. He wasn't just having that pity party, but he still ministered, tried to help others. I think it shows us for the most part that he kept his heart right before God. Now, he was human, and I'm sure he had slip-ups just like, you know, all of us have from time to time. But I want you to hear me as we talk about hope today. Hope is not that God will deliver us from our circumstances. You need to understand that. That's not what our hope is about. Our hope is knowing that God will walk with us through. Somebody say through. Through our circumstances. Y'all, that was so much better than what y'all just responded. Hope is not that God will deliver us from our circumstances, but knowing that he'll walk with us through our circumstances, that you're not having to do it on your own. Because listen to me just for a second. Our hope, again, has to be in God, not in our circumstances changing. And here's the reason why. Because if our hope is in our circumstances changing, every day that our circumstances don't change, it means that our heart's going to get a little bit sicker. But knowing that he's walking with us through that, we have reason to have hope, knowing that we are going to come through it, that the God of the universe cares so much about us that he's walking with us through it. So character produces hope. And number four, hope produces appointments. Hope produces appointments. Let's look at verse 3 again in Romans 5. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Again, that's perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Let's look at those words right there. Hope does not disappoint. That's a double negative right there. The prefix dis means not. Let's get grammatical just for a minute, okay? Think about the words approve and disapprove. Disapprove means to what? Not approve, right? And so to say does not disapprove means does approve. So here it's saying hope does appoint. Do y'all see that? Hope does appoint. Now, I know that you're all walking through tribulations, or maybe you've come out of it, or maybe you've just kind of gotten into something. And again, based on what Matthew says, we're going to endure it. But once again, we will overcome it. Come on, somebody. Amen. We will overcome it. We've all walked through it. And Jesus says that if we're in the world, we're going to experience tribulation. But here's what I want you to get. That tribulation, it's going to produce perseverance. And from that, it's going to produce character and hope. That's what comes next. But here's the good news that I really want you to get today. That hope will produce a divine appointment for us to step into our destiny. Let's check out scripture just for a second, because this is what happened to Joseph in prison. Genesis 40 verse 6. It says, and Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. Now this is talking about the butler. And this is talking about the baker. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? I believe that since Joseph had hope, that at that point it produced this divine appointment, and he saw that these two guys, that day they weren't having a good day. And rather than being self-centered, rather than just having his pity party, that day he took a moment to see what was going on with these guys. But hang with me just for a second. By taking a moment and hearing about their dreams, by hearing the voice of God, giving them the interpretation to the dreams, that launched him into his destiny. Because we've got to understand this. Whenever he gave the interpretation to that dream, right, for the butler, that ultimately opened the door to where he would interpret Pharaoh's dream. By interpreting Pharaoh's dream, he would ultimately be brought out of prison. At that point, he would let Pharaoh know about what his dream meant. In case you don't know, let me give you some background real quick. Pharaoh had a dream that there were going to be seven, ultimately the interpretation of the dream was there would be 7 years of plenty. In other words, there would be all kinds of food that would be produced for 7 years. Like it was going to be seven good years of harvest. But then the next 7 years, there were going to be famine. There would be famine. And so Joseph gives this interpretation. And Pharaoh immediately realizes that this guy right here is special, that there's something special about this guy. And he says, I need somebody to run this food program for the next, ultimately, 14 years. And Joseph was the guy. So Joseph gets called up to do that. But here's what's really incredible. Joseph's destiny was not about him being the number two man in Egypt. See, so many times we look at what people are doing and we think that it's all about them. It's not just about them, y'all. It's about others. Hear me, God wants to get you to your destiny, not just so you can be up here and people can look at you and just be like, oh, I wish I was them. That's not it whatsoever. God wants to get you to your destiny so that you can change the lives of other people. Let's talk about it just for a minute. See, people don't realize that in overseeing this food program, Joseph had the wisdom to be able to do it. He saved the entire nation of Egypt. What you also might not realize is the fact that he also caused his family not to starve to death as well. Because later in his story, we see that his family came and they bought food from them just so they could stay alive. Again, God's got a plan for us. And that hope, it will produce, whenever we keep our hope in the Lord, it will produce that appointment for us to move into the destiny that God has for us. So I understand that many of you, you're going through some hard times right now. But again, kind of circling back to where we started, we've got to make sure that we keep our response, that we respond properly to what it is that we're going through, because it so affects our future. Because whenever we do, it's going to produce that appointment for us to step into our destiny. It's during these seasons, hear me today, that we don't accuse God. It's during these seasons that we don't say things like, God, I don't know why you put this on me. It's in these seasons where we don't have this whole take God hostage attitude. And what do I mean by that? There are some people who foolishly will say things like, well, if you're a good God, then this is the answer I'll get. And then they'll take it a step further and say something like, and if I don't get that answer, then I'm done with you. I need somebody to hear me today. Too many times we put a microscope on the one, two, or three things in our life that aren't good. But we fail to consider the literal thousands of other blessings in our life that are all because of God's grace. We so focus on this thing that's going on maybe in our marriage or something that's going on with a child or something that's going on with our health, but we don't even think about the fact that our next breath is because of His grace. It's because of His grace. You're not taking your breath on your own. The Word says it's in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. It's in these seasons that we have to keep our attitude right, that our posture is, Father, we know You're good. Lord, we may not understand exactly why we're walking through this, but we know that something's being built in a God. There's perseverance, there's character, there's hope that's coming, and that, Father, that it's just literally ejecting me into the destiny that You have for my life. It's in these seasons that we sink our teeth into Romans 8:28, where it says that He works all things. And I need somebody to say all things today. He works all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, the things you wish you could forget. He works all things to work together for your good. For those who are called, every one of us are called. Come on. And it mentions purpose. Every one of us has a purpose. That's what we're talking about in this series. Amen. It's in these seasons that you have to remember that you just completely tune out the enemy who's going to tell you, if He was a good God, He would do this. No, shut up, enemy. I know that my God's good. I know that everything He's ever done has been good. I know it's His nature. I know He does not change. That He's good. We have to keep our heart right, knowing that we can trust Him, knowing that He's walking with us through our situations. A few weeks ago, I mentioned types and shadows of Christ. I think it was in part two of the series. And whenever you look in the Old Testament, just so you know, the Old Testament points us to Jesus. That's what it does. But you'll see certain individuals in the Old Testament, and it's what we call a type of Christ. It doesn't mean that they were Jesus. It just means that there's some kind of similarities that kind of mirrors the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so whenever you look in the word, Moses was one of those, David was one of those, Daniel was one of those, but Joseph was as well. Just a couple of thoughts for you. Joseph was numbered with prisoners, and he did nothing wrong. Jesus was numbered with prisoners, and he did nothing wrong. Joseph was specifically numbered with two prisoners, one of which was condemned, and one of which was set free. Jesus was numbered with two prisoners. One was condemned by his own heart, and one was set free by his own heart. Joseph told the butler, "Remember me." But the butler didn't. Jesus was told by the thief on the cross. The thief looked at him and said, "Remember me." And Jesus did. He remembered him. Listen to me today. Even if people have forgotten about you, even if people have talked about you, even if people have let you down, I want you to know Jesus keeps his word. I want you to know that he's walking with you through what you're going through. I want you to know that in your hard season, he's with you and he's not going anywhere. As a matter of fact, we have this beautiful promise in Hebrews. It says, "I will never," I need somebody to say never today, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He's not going anywhere. And again, our hope isn't that our circumstances just change, but it's knowing that he's not leaving us, that he's going with us from the beginning of it to the end of it, and we're going to come out the other side of it. Amen? In Jesus' name. Come on, today, if you will, just bow your head. Let's just have a minute with the Lord. Again, I know there's situations going on in this room today. Some of you, you are in the hardest season of your life right now. Maybe some of you, you just felt like you just came out of it. But maybe you're in the middle of trials that have just gone on for a long time. I want you to understand it's very important how we respond during this season. What you're going through, I want you to understand, can actually produce that character, the perseverance, the character, the hope. What you're going through is building character in your life. Because as we talked about there, we've got to pass these character tests to ultimately get to where God wants us to be, to walk into our destiny. And today, I just want you to receive this as a word of hope today. Some of you just thought that, you know, God's just hung you out to dry. No, that's not it whatsoever. We live in a sin-filled, fallen world. Things happen, unfortunately. Things happen. I mean, this week, I had to bury one of my closest friends. Things happen that we don't always understand. But I know that God's walking with me. He's walking with you through it. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. So, Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your promise that you're with us and that you're walking with us through, Lord, the tribulation that we may be dealing with right now, God, with the adversity we're dealing with. And, God, I feel that there's probably some here today who they felt like they've been done wrong by people. There have been things said about them. There have been, Lord, rumors spread. Lord, lies spread. But, Father, we just want to take our eyes off of that. Lord, we just want to focus on your goodness. Lord, we know that we're going to have tribulation. You said it in Matthew. And God, we just want to keep our posture right. Lord, just declare right now, Father, you're good. You're good. Lord, even whenever we don't understand what we're walking through, God, we still choose you. Because you're good. Because we know you love us. Because we know that you'll never abandon us. So, Father, we thank you for that promise today. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.